Podcasting to you live from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver at the UBC campus. This is Rachel, and today is Lady Radio. Today's episode is Can You Handle the Heat? So I have guest Leela, who is also a cook here. Leela, say hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'm also a cook myself, and today we're going to have just a roundtable discussion about what it's like to be a cook, and especially what it's like to be a woman in a male-dominated industry that is the food industry. I see Leela giving me, like, looks of agreement. She's like, yeah, that's about right.
It's not translating on radio, the looks of agreement.
Okay, so without further ado, I think we're going to start with our first question. Tell us a little bit about your kitchen experience, Leela, and then I'll kind of jump in with mine once you get yourself going.
All right. Well, I guess my very, very first job was working at a bakery on the same street as my parents' house when I was like 14 or 15.
Uh-huh.
So I pitted cherries for pies and helped out with, like, you know, little grunt work tasks.
Right.
And then I've done a bunch of cooking jobs. Like, even I went to UBCO. I was doing cooking jobs. Then I moved to the coast, and I was going to college on the island. And I was working at this bakery that I really liked all the stuff. And I thought, I don't know if academia is doing it for me. I think I want to get into cooking. So I came to Vancouver to take cooking school, and I've been doing jobs here ever since. So,
wow.
Lots of cooking jobs.
Yes, it just sounds like, you know, over time you started to like it more and more, and then eventually you're like, you know what, this is gonna be what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a different story. I guess we're just gonna do origin stories. Ooh. Now, which is fine. I hope you're all ready for this. So growing up, I like helped out in the kitchen with my parents a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I had a cousin named Debbie who was really into baking as well. And, you know, the most distinct memory I have is the first time she came over and she's like, we're gonna make Rice Krispies. So we did that. I was so fascinated because she pulled out all these ingredients out, and I thought to myself, like, there's no way we're making Rice Krispies with all these things. And it, like, in my, you know, 8-year-old eyes, like 8-year-old self, it came together. And I was like, this is magical. This is insane. There's no way this is happening. And then I started to get really into baking on my own, and I had, like, many, many disasters and cooking disasters.
Baking disasters happen quite frequently,
I think. Yeah. I remember making a batch of cookies once because I was like, oh, I'm too cool to follow a recipe. And I put way too much baking soda in the cookies. and really, they tasted like soap. Let's not lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on with the story, I decided to pursue culinary when I was in my grade 11th year, when I was in high school, because we had a high school program that let us take culinary school while we were in high school, so you can sort of, like, try it out.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And then I went to school, and it was really fun. But then I started working in the kitchen, and that was, like, very different than my ideal idea of, like, what kitchen work would be like. Because my sort of coming of age and, like, exposure to food and cooking was, like, Food TV and Food Network, right? And that's very different, as Leela, you probably know, from the real thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that is a huge... that was a huge thing that got a lot of people into cooking schools. But then as soon as they hit the actual kitchens, that got a lot of people out of cooking as a job, because it is very, very different from what you see. Of course, reality TV is not that near to reality, as we all should realize.
I think you're totally right about that. So... do you have any, I'm sure you have many stories, but any, like, stories that jump out to you that you want to share that you have from being in the kitchen?
I guess we were talking a little bit about staging before we came in here, and I feel we should touch on that, because that is a good example of how different reality is from cooking TV.
Yeah, that's
So I guess stagiaire, if people don't know it, that's mm-hmm. a French word. To be a stagiaire is to be someone who comes into a kitchen. Generally, your school might send you there to kind of try out a kitchen. It's kind of similar to internship, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, so you're working for free. Like, I remember describing it to a roommate of mine, and I was like, yeah, you know, like, you go in, you don't know how long you're going to work, you don't really know what you're going to do for work, you're going to be working for free. And I was like, but, you know, at least you tend to get a meal out of it.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, not to, sometimes, I think for the most part, those kitchens end up wanting to hire you more just because they have an idea of what kind of worker you are and, like, how well you work with the team. And so there's a higher tendency for them to hire you. And that's, like, the way they sell it to you.
Yeah. And I think it is, it's, like, my parents, I know my mom has a hard time. I try never to mention it to my mom because she's like, you're working for free. You can't do that. Like, but for me, I like to stage at least one day, not for an extended period of time, because I do need money to live. We are in Vancouver. But to see whether I will mesh well with the people there and to see mm-hmm. what kind of work I will be doing. There are a lot of, like, I've had a lot of good stages, but I've had a couple interesting ones as well.
Any stories from that?
Yeah, I guess there's two distinct ones. One was in a very, very fancy fine dining place. I will not mention what it is. that I think went through just like ate up stages. You know, like they would have lots of people going in because it was so well known. And cooking has always been fiercely competitive, at least fine dining cooking. So mm-hmm. My school sent me there and I spent the whole stage mandolin and garlic, like slicing garlic super, super thin, because it was this one garnish for on top of one of their dishes. So I spent like hours mandolin and garlic, enough so that I wore like two pairs of gloves and my hands still smelled like garlic for a week. But I was kind of watching, like they set me up doing that so I could watch, you know, how the kitchen was going and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I like had such a hard time because the sous chef that was showing me things, he kept, like, he would plate something and he would have this big spoon and he kept licking the spoon.
Oh, goodness.
And then using it again. Like, normally, it's like, you taste stuff, but they tend to have, like, a lot of places will have, like, a container of, like, a disinfectant liquid.
Oh.
And so they'll dip the spoon in, rinse it off. Or they'll have a big, lots of places just have a big thing of spoons. And so you use one tasting spoon and you toss it, you use one, you toss it.
Exactly.
And he kept, I was, like, staring at him as I was, like, oh, God, this is torture. Like, all I can smell is garlic, and that guy is just like licking the spoon over and over again and like putting stuff down. And I had such a hard time not being like, what are you doing?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I just a comment on like the garlic. Pro tip for all those who are trying to get garlic smell out of your hands, if you rub them on stainless steel, the chemical reaction actually gets rid of the smell.
That's genius.
Yeah, and like at fancy kitchen stores, they'll sell you bars of stainless steel soap, which I find so ridiculously unnecessary. You just have to rub your hands on the side of your sink and you're good to go. But that is, oh my goodness, that's not fun.
Yeah, yeah. And then my other story is kind of along the lines of strange things that will happen to you as a female cook in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
I staged at this place. I wanted to do pastry work there. It was another fine dining place. And I did 3 days of staging. So I worked 3 days for free.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one I was explaining to my roommate before I went there what staging was and said, like, at least you'll get a like free meal out of it. And so the first day I worked and I got a bun for like 9 hours.
I hope you're not hungry for the rest of this time.
The second day I got a broken chocolate tart. But during that time, I was working with this like very old school French chef,
mm-hmm.
and we were making lots of buns, the bun that I ate. And if you've ever made buns, this will be a bit hard to describe for people who haven't shaped buns. You kind of do that circular motion with mm-hmm. two hands on the table going around and around and around. Mm-hmm. And he was watching me do that, and I wasn't doing it right. So he was like, came up behind me, and you know,
Ghost?
Yeah, Ghost. I was going to say Ghost or any sort of romantic comedy, that trope where someone comes behind you and like their body is pressed against your body and their hand is on your hand. And he was like, look at my eyes, not at the bun. Look at my eyes. And he was like pushing my hand. Oh, and I was terrified. I was so terrified. And I got offered the job and I turned them down. I told some like friends of mine, like female pastry workers after that, like a while later, being like, oh, this funny story happened to me. And they were like just so upset about it. They were like, he wouldn't have done that with a guy. Like, that guy was squeezing up on you. I was like, yeah, I guess.
Goodness.
It's a strange world.
That is both hilarious and upsetting at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I take it as a funny story, for sure, to me. There's worse things that have happened, I think, in Kitchen Scrolls, but it's an interesting place to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And before we go on a little break and I play a song for all you listeners out there, I just want to ask, Leela, and also I guess it's directed towards myself as well, why do you choose to work in a kitchen given the long hours, the hard labor, and everything that we've mentioned so far, essentially?
Oh, that's a hard one to finish before the song goes on. I guess the essence of it is that I like it, I guess, is the thing. It kind of has all the aspects of what makes, you know, when you look online when you're a kid and you, you know, if you... Myers-Briggs doesn't work for you and you're like, the ideal job is what? Like, it has a lot of those things that make up an ideal job, like creativity, being mm-hmm. autonomous, working with a team, and seeing like a direct reward for what you do. You work on something and then you make it and it's beautiful, and that's mm-hmm. you know, it's very fulfilling in that way.
Wow. I'm like, for me personally, I'm currently like having doubts about the industry, especially just being here, you know, at UBC and as a student here, and thinking about all these other options that I hadn't known were available to mm-hmm. me. Because for me personally, I was planning to go straight from high school to culinary school. But thinking about why I'm still working in kitchens, I think it's very unique and it's very different than a lot of jobs that people could have. Because it's such a heavy labor job, but I feel like the product that comes out is like this sort of really delicate and like finesse thing that mm-hmm. some people can enjoy. Because when you think of labor, oftentimes it's sort of like rough and tough, and then it's just like throwing things around.
Yeah.
Whereas in the kitchen, it's like, you know, aspects of it is like rough and tough, but then when it translates, it becomes this sort of really finished and polished thing. And the contrast intrigues me, and I think that's why I'm still here and doing it. And another thing about working in kitchens is I think that improvement is so obvious.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I'm thinking about, for example, writing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm writing better or not, but in the kitchen, when you are improving, you can really see it, and I think that's a really fulfilling feeling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that like a task and reward system that mm-hmm. you know seems to draw so many to, like, say video games. You do something and you get the gold coin, right? Mm-hmm. It's very much like that with cooking. You directly see if you screw something up.
Mm-hmm. And if you're doing well, it's probably gonna taste good and it's gonna look
exactly.
good.
Exactly. It's gonna obvious. Look great and it's gonna feel great to do something well.
Yeah. So now we're gonna take a break. And the first song I wanna play for you is by The Internet, which is one of my favorite hip hop, jazzish, new jazz electronic groups. And the song is called Under Control, and I thought it would be a very fitting song for today, just because if you for all you out there who have worked in kitchens or know what it's like, a lot of the times you kind of need to pretend you're under control. You're like, I got it under control. Nothing is chaotic. It's all fine. And this is dedicated to all you out there who are trying to keep it under control in those professional kitchens.
Perfect. Chasing dreams in my sleep, got me feeling like I made it. Then I wake up and see frustrations raising for payment. Thankfully, they know me. Can't get enough of the paper. Get enough of. I know you love it, babe. Cause I'm a risk. Bet if you put it on me, I'ma win. And if you give it to me, I won't forget.
Interested in more vibrant public spaces and less car traffic? On June 18th and 19th, Car Free Day will once again reclaim parts of Main Street, Commercial Drive, Denman Street, and blocks of Kitsilano to bring Vancouver one of its biggest community street festivals. But it will take the efforts of hundreds of volunteers to make it happen. Join us and volunteer for an inclusive, people-powered, family-friendly street festival. To sign up, please visit our website at carfreevancouver.org. No experience is necessary. Just be ready to meet great people, have lots of fun, and become part of Vancouver's future.
Making a cuppa? Stop! How many cups of tea are you making? What? There's enough for 10 cups in there. Only boil the amount of water that you actually need. Very good, old boy.
That's right. The British are making less tea to conserve energy. Students can conserve energy, too.
A student's life often follows a pattern. Eat, sleep, study. During this routine, don't forget to make time for energy conservation. This will be the easiest thing you do all semester, and a little bit goes a long way. Do your laundry in cold water and hang clothes on standing dry racks or clotheslines instead of using electricity-intensive dryers. If a dryer is the only option, throw in a dry towel with wet clothes to absorb moisture and cut down on drying time.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9.
We're back. This is Lady Radio, and I'm Rachel with guest Leela. For those of you who were tuning in, that song that we played was Under Control by The Internet, dedicated to all those professional cooks out there trying to keep it under control in the heat of the kitchen. So back to our discussion for this today's episode of Can You Handle the Heat? The next question that we have lined up is, what is it like to be a woman in usually predominantly male-occupied kitchens?
Well, I guess it's always a bit trickier for ladies in most of the industries, I would say. But yeah, cooking is a tough one. When I came to Vancouver, the first kitchen I worked in here, they hadn't had a woman work in the kitchen for 6 years. So I was the first one there, and that was very rough. A lot of, like, I don't know. I mean, cooking is kind of a job that you can do without education, you can do without training. Kind of is a strange, I mean, it's a bit different now, but it definitely draws a lot of degenerates and a lot of people that, like, when you work so hard and so many hours and you get so little sleep, like, there's a lot of people that are into drinking a lot just to kind of, like, decompress, and you know, there's lots of drugs and stuff like that. So it can be really difficult. But I mean, at this point, I realized coming to the show, I am working in two places that are predominantly female.
Oh.
And I think this was obviously a choice I've made because male, like, I've worked with nice guys for sure, but I've worked with a lot of guys that were not so nice. And it tends to be more of a competitive kind of kitchen when it's predominantly male, comparative to a cooperative kitchen when it comes to working with women. Like, I work with some really amazing ladies, and we all look after each other, and we all, you know, like, have each other's back. Like, I feel like I have really good teams around me. So yeah, you kind of ending up where you need to be, because it can be tough to be the only girl in a place that hasn't had a girl for 6 years, you know. It's hard if you kind of have, like, feminist ideals to like, listen to some things guys say and not say stuff back, or, you know, just take it, you know, and try to be the bigger man.
Funny how we even use that phrase to describe that. And I mean, for me personally, I worked in a kitchen where by the time I got there and things were settled, and I'd been working there for maybe about a year of the 2 years that I was there, I was one of two women in the kitchen and everyone else were men. And this was before I had delved into feminist theory, but I found myself sort of participating in that, you know, that banter, and, you know, that's not always very feminist at all.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
Never really politically correct either. And there's definitely that exists, and it, it's very hard to break through that, because if you don't participate in it, then you're sort of isolated from everyone else, I would say.
Yeah, and you want to be a team when you're working with people for so many hours and you're in tight quarters. Like, you kind of, it's, you really need to connect with people in some ways, unless you're working like a night shift all alone, you know. So yeah, it is hard to not kind of get sucked into that like crazy sort of foolish bravado and that kind of machoism that is so predominant. Well, or it was kind of the old school. I think it's starting to change, but it is very tied into the cook's culture.
Yeah, and so. It's still there. And another thing that I would say about, like, being a woman in the kitchen is because it's such a hard labor-type job, and being a smaller person personally, it's very hard to do well, I find, for myself. It was really hard for me to do well in certain kitchens, even though I knew I had the skills. I just wasn't necessarily, like, physically capable of, for example, lifting more weight or, like, reaching certain things in higher places, even though I knew that skill-wise, I was, you know, better, if, like, on par, if not better, with than my male counterparts. Like, let's talk about, like, knife skills, for example, or, like, cooking certain things and, like, cooking techniques. Like, I knew that I was capable of doing that, and I, if not better. And the only problem that I encountered was that I just couldn't do the labor as well, like, the hard labor. Like, I couldn't lift all the stuff. I couldn't, you know, like, you know, I don't know, lift the crates for them or, like, reach certain things. And that just made my job so much harder.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, I think a lot of guys even who can lift the giant bags of flowers and stuff like that, like, you're tempted to do that as well. But you also don't want to develop an injury that will kind of ruin it for you and make it so that you're all hunched up by the time you're, like, 40 or you've got, like, you know, repetitive strain injury. So if you're in a kitchen where you are more cooperative and you can, like, some kitchens you feel safer to say, like, we're going to do this task together, we're going to lift this together, we're going to do it on the count of three, let's not hurt ourselves. Whereas other places, you know, people are doing stuff really dodgy with lifting really heavy things. And I'm like, I know you're, like, there's a lot of young guys. I was looking at Stats Canada in preparation for this and kind of seeing, like, who were, like, what the situation was for women in the industry. And it kind of said that guys go into the industry quite young, like 15 to 24, and they leave, you know, they kind of hit that age point, whereas a lot of women tend to go in it later, like they do another career, and then they'll end up doing cooking afterwards because it's their dream or passion or whatever. So it's very different. You have a very different thought process, say, as like a 28-year-old woman compared to like a 19-year-old guy or 18-year-old or 17-year-old, you know, who's like, I have no concept of how my body will hurt when I'm older. Whereas, like, now I'm like, I've got this, like, SI joint thing. Like, you know, stuff like that. So it's a different level of awareness. But, yeah, it can be frustrating to feel like you're not putting in the effort that everyone else kind of, you know, like, to feel like you can't hit that level. Whereas you're just going to injure yourself if you do it that way, kind of.
And I think a good question to follow up with this is, do you feel the need to prove yourself more than your male counterparts?
That's a tough one. I truly feel the need to be tough and be strong, I guess, in a kitchen where there's lots of guys. Like, but I don't want to... I'm not going to compete with someone. And I guess that's just my personality. Like, I have my own prerogative. Like, I have my own mission that I'm on. And it isn't to do better than this person. It is only to learn as much as I can and better myself. So I don't really need to compete with those people. So I'm kind of like, I don't feel the need to get sucked into that. But there is that machoism that is hard to avoid in some ways. Like, you mentioned the, you know, cutting your hand and just putting a glove on it. Like, I've done those things a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think I know my edge where it's like, if I think I need stitches, or if I think if I have any sort of thing that's close to food poisoning, just because I, or, you know, like stomach flu, I will not work. Like, mm-hmm. I know people who go to work when they
anyway.
When they've got that. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's ridiculous if you're handling food.
Yep.
So there is an edge that, like, I don't cross that. But yeah, you do still feel the pressure of some things with that. Like, even if it's, even if I, like, can stand up for myself on a lot of things, there are some little things that I find myself like, oh, what am I doing? You know, like, you notice little things, and then you're like, oh, that's being silly. So
yeah, for sure. And I think on the topic of that, let's move on to the next question, which is, like, what are your thoughts on kitchen culture and cooks priding themselves in developing thick skin?
Well, I think there's a machoism that needs to just disappear. It's
needs
like
to stop.
Yeah, it's an old ideal that comes from way back when the kitchens kind of first started as being, like, based on like the setup of an army, like,
yeah, like Escoffier times.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's got to change, and I think it's reaching this point, like we were talking briefly before this started, about, like, the demand for cooks.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people leaving the jobs because they are such long hours. You're on mm-hmm. your feet. There's not very good wages to make up for that. And it is, like, evenings and weekend work, mm-hmm. Which aren't ideal, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I think there has to, if you have all that, and then you also have, like, a really unhappy environment, like, you're not going to keep people. So this, like, bravado of, like, I can drink for 3 days and be so hungover and come to work and throw up and, like, still do the job, and I cut my hand open and I can still do the job, like, I just think it's ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's just, it comes from, like, you start to feel like you're just surrounded by a group of 15-year-old boys. Like, it's that level of intelligence, that kind of thing, that everyone gets kind of sucked into, like, bragging about stuff like that, I think, sometimes. But, yeah, I think there needs to be a big shift if the industry is going to keep alive, you know? 'Cause
yeah, for sure. And reflecting upon kitchen culture, for example, I think that I really want to say that I got sucked into it, definitely, and there were times when I was sick and I would feel bad for taking the day off, because there's that sort of idea where you're, like, abandoning the team. And then there would be days where I tried to stay or, like, come in when I was sick because, you know, oh, well, other people have done before, so maybe I am just the weak one and I need to, you know, step up to the plate and, you know, take one for the team, essentially.
Yeah.
And also, I think there's just this problematic expectation that people are supposed to undergo verbal abuse and just not be affected by it. Because I bumped into a fellow coworker, like, mm-hmm. we used to work together, and he was telling me how there was a very old-fashioned, very serious chef, their head chef, and he makes grown men cry by yelling at them.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's so many times when that's unnecessary, and I just don't understand why it continues to be, you know, like, a motivator that people think, oh, I'm just doing this because I care and I want your work to be great and I want it, the final product, to be excellent, right? So I'm going to yell at you. I just don't understand that, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of funny. I mean, when you're not in the industry, you don't really think about it. Like, I've always laughed at, you know, people are so concerned about if their food is organic, if the meat is raised well, and they don't think about the people that are cooking that meat for them, about how they're being abused. So,
yeah.
Like, I just think it's strange that it's an industry where people can be on, you know, all sorts of anti-anxiety medicine and have post-traumatic stress disorder from working with a certain person that's just so abusive. And it's just a struggle already if you're not getting paid well, and if you're not, like, if you don't have medical benefits, as a lot of people won't, it's a bit like something's got to give, you know?
Right. And especially given just the work that you're doing, if you don't have those kinds of benefits, it's, like, really hard to stay in it. And it's, and that's what you talked about of a lot of people wanting to leave.
Yeah.
I can definitely see why people want to do that.
You know, if you're getting, say, a day rate, like, have you gotten paid a day rate before?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty common in Vancouver for a lot of, or it was, it's starting to change. So you get a certain set amount per day,
mm-hmm.
Which when I went out of school, I saw some job ads for restaurants that I was like, oh, I love this restaurant. It's nice mm-hmm. food. And it's a $90 day rate. And you're not working 8 hours. You're working like 10 to 15 hours. Mm-hmm. So if you break that down, you're like, I'm making less than
minimum
wage. I don't have medical benefits. I'm getting no sleep.
Mm-hmm.
If I get sick, I feel the need to go to work, not only from that pressure, but also, like, you don't have money to
right.
say even, like, if you were so desperate that you're like, I'm just going to get a doctor's note, and then it'll seem, like, legit, because I need it to seem legit, because I'm dying. And then they're like, oh, yeah, it's $15 for a doctor's note. Like, it's all these things built up
mm-hmm.
to make it, like, so, such a tough industry. But it is something that, because it's been built in for so long, that you really need to have, like, a dramatic shift of thought
mm-hmm.
from so many people in the industry. And I think we're kind of working our way around to that. But
right.
It is going to take a little bit of time to do that.
And I think those conversations need to start. But the thing that's stopping those conversations from happening is what we talked about earlier in the episode of, you know, food and cooking being portrayed on TV and having this glamorous sort of feel. And so whenever people hear, for example, I'll tell people I'm working in a kitchen, it would be oohs and ahs and, oh, interesting,
yeah.
like, oh, that sounds so cool. But in reality, a lot of the times it's quite hard, and it's not always that fun,
yeah.
to be honest. And I think the reason why people aren't talking about the things that we're talking about at this very moment, like when you mentioned how people are so worried about the origins of their food and, like, how sustainable and ethical
yeah.
the origin of their food is, but not the labor that goes into preparing the food and how ethical that is because there's that narrative that, you know, cooking is glamorous and you're, you know, creating this beautiful product and you're an artiste and you're a master.
yeah, because people at home, I mean, I think a lot of times if people cook at home, like, they enjoy cooking at home. And it's the little things that, like, we enjoy cooking. We got into it because we like doing it. So people have, like, really fuzzy, warm feelings about, like, having good food or making good food and thinking about people making food. It's like, oh, it can't be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if you don't do a stage and work one day just juicing lemons for 8 hours, you don't really think about how difficult it can be and how unglamorous it can be, for sure. So
okay, so we're going to take a break, and the next song that we have coming up is called Vampire by Moo, which is a female duo from Vancouver, BC. And I guess Vampire would also be a fitting song for today's theme and just getting the life sucked out of you sometimes working in the industry. As much as you might like making food and cooking and you have a passion, sometimes it just feels like getting the life sucked out of you. So it's dedicated to all y'all out there.
On June 26th, the White Hall will open its doors to you. Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock with your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
And we're back. You're listening to Lady Radio. I'm Rachel with guest Leela today, and this is episode Can You Handle the Heat? So for all of you tuning in, that song we played was called Vampire by Moo, the Vancouver female music duo, and it was dedicated to all the cooks out there who sometimes feel like the industry is just sucking the life out of you like a vampire. And we're back for our final conversation section of the episode. And the first question that we have here is, tell us a little bit more about the cook shortage that's been happening, Leela.
Well, I guess I think because I'm a cook and because I know so many cooks, I get tons of messages or articles of, you know, cook shortage. And I've seen it in a lot of places around me where, whereas before, you know, if you put a job ad up, you could find people. And now it's a lot of places really struggling in the summer when it's super busy, or really struggling just to fill the spots, because I think so many people have kind of fallen out of the industry. And because opening up a restaurant is like one of the easiest things to do for a business-wise. Mm-hmm. So there's like, I think, you know, you probably notice in Vancouver that there are like so many new restaurants all the time.
Right.
And you kind of wonder like, how is that possible? And I think there are as many restaurants opening up at one time as there are shutting down. So there is this mm-hmm. like strange influx of people needing people, and then, you know, people losing jobs, and this like kind of in between like mishmash of things. But yeah, it's kind of strange times for the industry, I feel, a bit, because there are so many shortages, and it is really hard to find people that have any sort of experience, because people with experience don't want to go into the jobs that have the low pay. So I think a lot of people are kind of abandoning, you know, a lot of jobs to try to get union jobs, or going away for the summer to do like summer gigs at like a camp or something like that, mm-hmm. that would pay really well. Right. And that you would only have to work, you know, I mean, potentially you could work all summer, and it's, you know, you kill yourself doing it. But then you can take the winter off and you can travel and stuff, comparative to like working really, really hard all year for a lower wage. And not having a holiday. Like,
right.
I had a family member ask me, like, I have family in England, so they were like, how many weeks off a year do you get? And I was like,
weeks off.
What do you mean? They're like, do you get 2 weeks off a year? Like, how many years have you been doing this job? And I'm like, we get, like, I don't get weeks off in here. Like, I can schedule days off if I can find people to cover my shifts, but like I take like 1 week off in the summer, I try to, and then if I have other times off, it's because I'm lucky and am doing kind of personal chef catering, whereas mm-hmm. like times slow down and I can take time off. But like most chefs are working all the time and are not getting time off at all.
Right.
So yeah, it's hard. There's so many people kind of falling out of the industry, and it just needs to change into, like we were saying, the industry needs to change, the environment needs to change, the pay needs to change. You know, it just needs to be more appealing to people so that they'll stay in it. So right now it's a weird time where, you know, the restaurants and the people in them aren't quite catching up to that new ideology that needs to happen to get people to stay. So
right. And I think a really good question to follow up and end off on is, what do you hope to see in the future of professional kitchens, especially for women who are cooks like yourself?
Well, I want.
this is your wish list.
Yes.
Tell us.
So everyone out there who's listening to the, like, I hope all the kitchens are tuned in right now to CITR. I'm doubtful. But yeah, I think respect is like a big one. I think people need to be respected more. But I mean, you know, we need to have a better environment. We need to get paid more, you know, which is difficult because then it's kind of translate to food costing a bit more for restaurant goers, which is hard. It's hard for people to pay more for food. They really don't. There isn't a connect for people to think about how much work goes into creating a thing,
right?
And how time needs to be accounted for, and your time, like as a worker, costs money. So, like, there needs to be a big makeover of the industry where people are treated better and paid more, and, you know, and there just needs to be more places like the good places we've worked at where there are good teams of people that really respect you and understand if you're sick and all those things. Yeah, I kind of want it all to get just keep better. Keep getting better. We can do this, guys. We can all change it.
Yeah, and I think what's important is that the way that we portray, like, I don't know if we can, like, Food Network, if you're listening, tune in, listen to this advice, but I think there needs to be a change in the general public in the way that we talk about the food industry and the way that we see cook culture, and stop glamorizing it so much, because I think a lot of people don't know the realities of it, and I think that directly affects how people think about cooks and how people think about going out to eat, right? Because they don't realize that it, like you said, it takes a lot of work to do that, and, you know, people get trained to do that, and they're professionals, right? Like, cooks are professionals for the most part. If not by schooling, then by experience, they are.
Yeah.
And so that costs money, and as much as it sucks, like, you know, if you want people to be treated better, then you're probably going to have to end up paying more when you go out to eat, right?
Yeah, and
that's really hard for people to recognize and realize and agree with if they don't know what's going on behind those doors when they're going out to eat, right? And I think for women specifically, like, what I would like to see in the future is just more support and, like, the end to what you talked about, like, the machoism. I think that just needs to go away and not be something that people value so much and say, like, oh, this is, like, the best part of it. Like, this is just hanging out with the bros in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Adrenaline pumping. Like, no. I think we're almost out of time, which sucks, but I'm wondering, Leela, if you have any closing messages for all those cooks out there that you'd like to share.
Oh, keep hydrated, keep at it, keep respecting each other, you know. I think that's, let's change it, guys.
Wise
let's make
words.
It better.
Wise words. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on air today in the studio, Leela. To all the listeners out there, I hope that conversation wasn't too hot. I hope you could handle the heat of this conversation about women in the kitchen. So support your local cooks.
Yeah.
Go out there. Get those conversations rolling.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And so thank you for listening to Lady Radio. The upcoming program at 7:30 is African Rhythms. So if you're looking for something to dance to for the Friday night, I highly suggest you tune in for African Rhythms. To close off our episode today, we have a song by the local band Supermoon, who actually came to perform at CITR Live not too long ago. And the song we're going to end off at is called Witching Hour from their new album, Playland. Thank you for tuning in. tuning in again. This has been Lady Radio. Enjoy yourself a wonderful Friday. Thanks.
Assembly and get the whole bunch. Where did I wanna be a homeless bum? Hope I find